Mark 5 from verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet, and he implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged around him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. And for she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fold this thing. Yeah. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." And while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion and people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside, took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. And taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was about 12 years old. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please help us to understand this. We don't always get you. Sometimes we don't know what you're doing or why you do the things you do. So help us. Help us to think now as we listen, as we look at you and the things you do. Amen. Jesus, why don't you answer my prayers? Now, I reckon, look, I've been around a little bit. One of the main reasons people give up on Christianity and don't believe in Jesus is because of unanswered prayer. You know, you ask God, "God, really help me here," and he doesn't help. Like, so what? I've been asking God, and he does nothing. You know, and I don't hear anything, and he's not doing it. Or maybe you get sick, and you get really sick, and you ask God for healing, and it doesn't come. Doesn't happen. It's like, you know, I'm talking to a stone wall. And so your faith, you give up believing. Well, anywhere. Why should I believe in a God who doesn't answer? Anyway, Jesus, why don't you answer my prayers? Now, I want to show you an amazing event in the life of Jesus where that sort of thing happened. And we can learn a lot from it. So have a look at verse 21. So when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was beside the sea. So Jesus is going around. He's doing amazing stuff. And he's teaching people about God and about the kingdom of God. And a crowd is following him. Now look at verse 22. This is awesome. Then, at last, a celebrity comes forward. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue. Jairus by name. Now you know you're dealing with history. It's not myth. The guy's name's Jairus. Everyone knew him. Why? Because he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he came to Jesus, and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she can be made well and live." Now, there are a couple of things to notice here. First of all, here's the man. He's rich. He's powerful. He's one of the rulers of the synagogue. Like, if I was one of the disciples, I'd be like, at last, breakthrough. You know, Jesus is gathering all this riffraff. There's a bunch of random citizens following Jesus. In fact, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. All his followers are fishermen, and they stink. You know what fishermen smell like. You know, he's attracting nobodies. But at last, we've made a breakthrough. It's like getting a record contract. At last, a promoter has noticed. The ruler of the synagogue. The disciples must have been thinking, Jesus, this is breakthrough point. If you can heal this guy's daughter, we're in the big time. We're going big league. They must have been so thrilled. And notice the sincerity. Look at the leader. Rich, powerful ruler. He sees Jesus and he falls on his at Jesus' feet on his knees. And look at it, sincere prayer. Look at verse 23. He begged him, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." Now, seriously, does anyone think that's a bad prayer? 12 years old, give me a break. You're not supposed to die when you're 12. And this is a daddy. And he's going, "Jesus, I beg you, please heal my..." I'm not asking you for a Ferrari. I'm not asking you for money. I'm asking you for a 12-year-old little girl. He begs. It's earnest. I mean, this is a good prayer, right? Surely this is a prayer Jesus is going to answer, right? So watch what happens. Verse 24. And Jesus went with him. Notice the grace of Jesus. "You want me to help? Okay, I'll help." And off Jesus goes. Watch this. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. I reckon this is going to be amazing. We've got to go with this. We're going to see another one of Jesus' amazing things. Now look at verse 25. And this is a surprise. This is a huge surprise. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians, had spent all that she had and was no better, was rather getting worse. You know, if you go to three doctors, you get five opinions. You know this. And so she spent everything, and all her money. And for 12 years, she's been suffering. It's a hopeless case. Like, nobody can help her. In fact, in this society, it was even worse. Because in their culture, if you had a bleeding issue, you were unclean. So not only were you sick, not only have you lost all your money, but you're also cut off from people. You're unclean. You can't be part of us. We're holy. And you got this issue. Anyway, so look at verse 27. She heard the reports about Jesus. She comes up behind him in the crowd to touch him, just touch his garment. There's a big difference here. The rich ruler, I don't know if you can picture it, but there's like bouncers. You know, make way, make way. Here comes the man. And when he comes, Mr. Jairus, to you, when Mr. Jairus comes through, everyone makes way, and he falls down. This woman is too shy to even talk to Jesus. She's not even going to talk to him. She's so low. She's got such a low opinion of herself. She's not going to say, yo, Jesus, will you give me a hand here? She's just going to go behind him, not even in front, behind him, touch his garment. Look at verse 28. For she said, "If I just touch his garments, I will be made well." And immediately, she does obviously touch his clothes, immediately the flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. So it's a miracle. It's incredible power. And she had faith in Jesus. her prayer gets answered like that. Now, verse 30, here comes the shock. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned around to the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" Now, this is really a shock for two reasons. Number one, it's awkward. You know, if I had a bleeding issue, the last thing I want to do is for everyone to hear about it. And Jesus stops in front of everyone and says, "Who touches me?" Like, shh, can we just keep this? You know, I don't want everyone to, you know, it's a private issue. But Jesus makes it a public issue. And he says, "Who touches my garments?" And the other reason it's awkward, and I hope you all saw this, is, why is it awkward? Because there's a little girl dying. What the heck are you doing? Jesus is on his way. There's a little girl, 12 years old. She's about to die, right? And Jesus is dawdling. He stops to talk to some random woman. The disciples must have thought, she's a commoner. You're going to help her. Actually, more. She's been suffering for 12 years. She can cope for a few more days. She'll be okay. This little girl is about to die. Hey, she's a woman. She's lived a large part of her life. This is 12 years old. I can think of a million reasons why you should pay no attention to this woman. And focus, Jesus, is a 12-year-old who's going to die. And look how nicely Jairus asked you. It's a great prayer. It's almost as if Jesus is in an ambulance. Woo, woo, and they're on their way, and this 12-year-old's dying, and Jesus goes, "Stop, stop." And everyone's like, "Woo, what, what?" And he gets out to have a chat to this woman. It's like, you are dawdling. You know, something is going to go wrong here. But Jesus dawdles. Watch this. And he looked around to see who had done it. Now, if I was Jairus' dad, I've got daughters, I've got two daughters. If I was Jairus' dad, I'd be kidnapping Jesus. I'd say, "We do not have time for this. Let's go." But look at Jesus. Verse 33, "But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear, trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her," and yeah, this is incredible, "Daughter." It's not his daughter. Why is he saying daughter? It's not even a normal way of addressing people in this day and age. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your disease." Here's why Jesus made a big fuss. Because she touches him and she gets healed, right? But Jesus wants everyone to know she's been healed. Because by doing that, she's restored back into the community. That's why he calls her daughter. He's drawing her back. Jesus is not just healing her body. He's healing her relationships in the community. She was unclean. Jesus is saying, "Yo, everybody, she's a daughter. She's back in the community." Right. So what you see here is just the incredible grace of Jesus. You know, Donald Trump is standing there saying, "Dude, can I spend a bit of time with you?" And Jesus is going, "I'm busy chatting to this woman who's got a problem." The grace of Jesus, that he's not thrown about by names, Jairus, ruler. Did anyone see the name of this woman? Did you see her name? It's not there because she's a random citizen. No one even knows in history who this chick is. No one knows her. And here is the great Jesus. Never mind Jairus, go down in history with your name, ruler of the... Jesus has got time for this woman. It's grace, such kindness. He's not fazed by your status or where you come from. But here's our question. What do you think Jairus is thinking? "I begged you to heal my daughter. I asked nicely. I fell on my knees. I begged you." And what did you do? You dawdled. You just dawdled. You didn't listen, Jesus. You didn't answer my prayer. Because look what happens in verse 35. "While he was still speaking," taking your time, "there came from the ruler's house," we must use the NIV here, guys, because this is like Yoda. I mean, really, "there came from the ruler's house." Anyway, horrible English. "There came from the ruler's house some who said, 'Your daughter is dead.'" Now, I don't know, how could, any daddies here? me, Dan, Cam, a couple of us, some guy comes to me and says, Dwayne, your daughter's dead. How could I hear that? I mean, that is the most devastating news you can hear. And get this, I'm standing in front of Jesus, and it's his fault. Why didn't you listen to my prayer? I asked you. I said this was going to happen. I said to you, come and heal my daughter. You know she's dying. And you've dawdled. And now my daughter's, thanks a lot, Jesus. Why don't you answer my prayer? Look what he says. This is amazing. Your daughter is dead. Look at verse 35. Why trouble the teacher any further? Think about that. If Jesus is just a teacher, what can he do for dead people? What do you do? Are there any teachers here? How do teachers help dead people? There's nothing you can do. What do you go lecture them? Pull yourself up, you know? Pick yourself up. Oh, what's wrong with you? Yeah, you see, if Jesus is just a teacher, then there's no reason to tell him about a dead 12-year-old because he can't do anything. If Jesus is just a teacher, he can't help you with dying. You know, there's nothing, you're gone beyond the realm of teaching. But this is what Jesus is showing them. There's a reason he's dawdling. Do you know why? Because he knows already what he's going to do. He knows she's going to die. You don't think he knows? Someone touches his cloak, gets healed, and he turns around. He knows who touched him. He was purposed. If he knows that, he knows she's going to die, but he knows already what he's going to do. And that's another lesson for you. When Jesus doesn't answer your prayers, please know that he knows something you don't. He already knows what he's going to do. You thought that your 12-year-old daughter should be healed. Jesus had a better idea. But you don't know it. You've got to trust him. But look what happens. Look what happens. But over, they're not even talking to Jesus. Look at verse 36. But overhearing what they said, it's not like they go up to Jesus and go, they're just like, oh, you know what, Jesus? I tried you. You're not for me. And they're talking to Jairus. They're talking. She's dead. They're not even talking to Jesus. You know why? Because I don't trust Jesus anymore. But look what happens. Overhearing what they said, I love this. When they plead with Jesus, please come heal my daughter, he dawdles. Now they're not even talking to him, and he still hears what you say. He can hear everything you're thinking. Look what happens. Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, this is astonishing, do not fear, only believe. When you think I'm not listening, when you think I'm not paying attention to your prayers, believe. Don't be afraid. Trust me. Verse 37, he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James, because Jesus, you'll hear later, has not come to start the end death game. He's not here to do these kind of, a lot of people are going to still die. There's a reason for that. I'll show it to you. But I'm going to keep this one small. Look at verse 38. They come to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And understandable, a 12-year-old dies. That's not funny. Of course they're crying. Verse 39, when Jesus entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Now, I don't know about you, but that's just a horrible thing to say. You don't go to a funeral and say things like that. That's just not cool. That's not a clever line. What's Jesus doing? Here's what he's saying to them. For me, death is like sleeping for you. You think death is the end. For me, it's like sleep. I can raise the dead as easy as you can wake someone up from sleep, unless they're a teenager. But if they're not a teenager, you can wake someone up from sleeping as easy as I can raise someone from the dead. For me, death means nothing. No one on earth ever spoke like this, ever. They'd never heard anything like this in their lives. So look what happens in verse 40. And they laughed at him. You might be here tonight, and I'm telling you that Jesus raises people from the dead, and you might be laughing. Laugh after death? Ha, ha, ha. That's a joke. You might be thinking that. You might be laughing. But you're not the first. When Jesus was on earth, they laughed at him. They thought it was a joke. Once you're dead, it's over, right? Not for Jesus. So look what happens. But he put them all outside. He took the child's father, that would be Jairus, and the mother, and those who were with him, and he went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talita kumi. Why are those words there? You know, Jesus spoke Aramaic. But what he said there, which is Aramaic, was so profound that the disciples never forgot it. Even though the New Testament is written in Greek, those words stay in Aramaic. I was there that day. I remember, not me, you know, not me, right? It's so stuck in their head that moment when Jesus said, Talita kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, rise. This is power. This is throbbing power. Notice Jesus doesn't go, oh my God, you're dead, Father, please. No. He says, I say to you. Okay. The power is in himself. He says, little girl. Now that little phrase, Talita kumi, is a beautiful phrase. It's actually, it's a diminutive, if you know what a diminutive is. It's actually idiomatic. It means sweetheart, darling. You know, it's a term, here's the, it's a term of endearment, honey bunch, you know, cookie looks. I don't know, whatever you say to you, okay. It's something, it's, yeah, that was an awkward one. But I was thinking off the top of my head. I don't know, you know, I don't even tell you what I call my kids, because we're in a church. But the point is, it's a term of love. Jesus is just throbbing with power, and at the same time, he's so gentle. He looks at this dead 12-year-old and he says, sweetheart, time to rise. And just like that, look what happens. Immediately, the girl got up and began walking. She was 12 years old. Can you imagine? Can you? Is that what Jairus thought? Do you think Jairus went to Jesus and said, dear Jesus, my daughter's going to die, but you know, will you come and raise her from the... Do you think he thought that? No, he was thinking, just heal her. Do me X. Jesus said, I'm not going to do X. I'm going to do Y. I'm going to do more than you even asked. More than you even imagined. And look what happens. She gets up, walks around. They are blown away. Because this thing doesn't happen. You know, don't think just because they don't have iPads. You know, this thing happens all the time back then. They were just as amazed as you and I would be. Verse 43, he strictly charged them, no one should know about this. There's a reason for that. And he told them to give her something to eat. Why did he do that? Obviously, because when you're dead, you come back hungry. You know this. No, because he wants them to know it's real. This is physical stuff. This is not ghosts. This is not Casper. This is real. Give her a burger. I'll show you it's physical. She's really come back from the dead. Now, here's the question. So why didn't Jesus answer Jairus' prayer? Because Jesus always has something better in mind. That's grace. Grace is when you go to your dad and you say, can I have a chocolate? And he gives you a burger. Grace is when you get more than you even asked for. Jesus is demonstrating that he has power to raise the dead. If he just heals people, listen. If he had healed her, Jairus would never have known that Jesus has power to raise the dead. He would have thought Jesus is a super duper doctor. He can heal people. Well, that's cool. And then we all die. What's the point of that? But Jesus had something better. I'm going to show you that I can not just heal people. I can defeat death. Do you know why he kept it a secret? Go, everyone. No one has to die anymore. Go tell them all. Bring the dead people to me. In fact, don't worry. I'll go to the crematorium. I'll sort it out. Why? Why does anyone? Here's why. Because Jesus himself is going to die. He is going to show them that I didn't come to this world to stop death. I came to this world to die myself. He came to die in our place. He came to die so that we never stay dead. Physically, we're all going to die, for sure. But Jesus died physically. But he didn't stay dead. On the third day, he rose again. And that's what he's demonstrating with this little girl, that it's like sleep to him. And the thing he shows us is that when you, well, look what he says. Look what he says. Don't be afraid. Where is that? It is in fact verse 36. Look what he says. At the end of verse 36, do not fear, only believe. Tonight, you trust Jesus to heal you, and he doesn't. Will you give way to fear? Will you say, well, that's it. I can't trust him. Or will you believe that even if he doesn't heal you, one day he will raise you from the dead. And forever, you will never hurt again. It's a far better thing he does for you then than answering your short-term prayers now. Jesus Christ does something very special. I don't know if you noticed. Look at verse 41. Taking her by the hand. It's such a gentle thing. You know why he does that? Because he's going to do something astonishing. He's going to hang on a cross and he's going to say, my God, why have you let go of my hand? Not quite. What he says is, why have you forsaken me? Jesus is going to break his relationship with the Father. A child, a son, is going to die. The Father is going to let him die so that you and I don't have to stay dead. If we stop being afraid, if we trust him, if we see his love and his grace. I mean, why wouldn't you trust someone who dies for you? Why wouldn't you trust someone with such grace, such kindness? I think if he doesn't answer your prayers, I think you can trust him anyway. Because look how kind he is. And one day, all Christians will die. All Christians die. You know this. 100% of us die. No one gets out of this alive. Okay, Dwayne, you made your point. Here's the point. Every single one of us will rise again. And we will see that Jesus answered every single prayer we ever. Oh, not in the way. I asked for a Ferrari and I died, drove a V-dub my whole life, you know, and I never got the Ferrari. Ah. But he answered it much better than I ever asked. Why don't you answer my prayers, Jesus? He does. Better than you could ever imagine. That's grace.